seen ghosts.
At one point on the ESPN broadcast that I felt like you were seeing ghosts
out there. Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's the boogeyman. It's real.
You talk about the kind of the continuity of your defense. We're up front together.
Sorry. He really said that?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Well, how were you guys able to rattle him?
That's crazy for him to say that. That makes it real. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy.
Kyle Van Noy reacting to the mic'd up Sam Darnold tonight.
And he was nice
he admitted
about
that he was seeing ghosts. First of all, I don't understand why, and it's an ESPN game,
stupid.
And it's a big game for the Jets. You're playing a Monday night football. Why he would allow himself to be mic'd up, or even more so, why would his coach, why would Gase allow him to do that? You're dealing with a 22-year-old quarterback.
And you know what type of defense he's going to go
exactly.
against.
Exactly.
Say something that's...
Exactly.
Because the networks have a lot of sway.
I guess so.
They must, because it was a bad idea.
Yeah, but if you're that coach, you're Adam Gase.
Right.
Why would you allow it to happen? I would think a coach would sit there and tell ESPN, listen, I got a 22-year-old quarterback. I know you guys want to wire him
right.
up. You know, mic up Le'Veon Bell.
No.
Okay, he's been around a few years.
If you had Le'Veon Bell, what about Adams, the safety?
Yes.
Very vocal.
Right. Leonard Williams. Dude,
very good player.
Mic him up. Right.
Right. I mean,
right.
Do something like that. A guy that's that, you know, is you just don't do that.
No.
I mean – now, believe me, there's going to be every stadium he goes to, there's going to be people dressing up as ghosts.
Yep.
You know? I mean, it's just ridiculous. Well, they don't really care with the Jets.
Because
so.
He was being honest with the coach, you know, seeing ghosts because everything's so confusing to me. You just made his life miserable than
point.
It should have been.
Steve and I were talking about it as we were watching it, and, you know, pre-snap, you can see the movement. So the safeties are coming up, and then the safeties are backing up. So now he's got no idea what are they doing.
Yeah.
Are they in man? They were in man virtually the entire night. But they're giving you totally different looks. They're baiting you into something.
Yes, they are.
And he's sitting there mic'd up, and now you're picking it all up. And the ghost stuff is going to resonate.
Most of the stuff that came on that mic goes, right? You know, he was flatlined to half that stuff.
And
that's not a good thing to do for your
quarterback. And I get it. You know, listen. Bill Belichick did it to Hall of Fame quarterbacks, let alone young quarterbacks that are struggling on poor teams. I mean, his game plan for Super Bowl 25 against one of the great offenses ever, Jim Kelly's K-Gun offense, that's in the Hall of Fame because Bill Belichick is that good. You're going to subject a kid like that to wearing a mic when you know that Bill Belichick, A, hates the Jets, B, his defense is as good as he's probably had ever outside of the 90 Giants. Other than that.
Slipped that one in.
What? I'm sorry, what? My fault. I spent the weekend in New York.
You're shameless, Steve.
But you're right. You're 100% correct, Glenn. That makes no sense that you would allow that to happen. If you had say in it as a coach.
Do you think Belichick would, let's say Brady retires, and Belichick ends up with a 22-year-old quarterback, and ESPN comes to the Patriots and says, hey, we would love to mic up your quarterback for this Monday night game. What do you think Bill's reaction would be?
Not even.
Bleep
wouldn't
no.
even let him talk
Bleep
to him.
No.
He wouldn't even say anything. He'd just look at him.
Yeah.
And they would cower, and they would move along.
But if you get a veteran that understands this stuff's going to be around for a while, everything you say on that mic is going to be used against you sometime, right? Or it's going to be used against you being overly cocky. You can't do that. You got to be aware you have the mic on. You can't say, I'm seeing ghosts.
Well, we were sitting there talking about it before the game, and we're sitting there going, oh, my God. They are going to allow Sam Darnold to be mic'd up. This is before the game now. Did we all? We looked at each other and said, you got to be bleeping
crazy.
Me. What
Wrong
are
guy.
They thinking?
Yes.
And you can't tell me that they're all out on the field before the game. He's got the mic on. You're telling me the Patriot players didn't know he was mic'd up? Of course they knew he was mic'd up.
Now, did they have a choice or did they put him forth?
Well, that's the thing. You don't know how much power the networks have when choosing something like that. But
well, you're the coach. You're Adam Gase. You sit there and say, I don't care. Penalize
me.
Find me. Yeah. Do whatever you want.
Sure.
Protect
your asset.
Not even a question. Not even. It just made no sense whatsoever. And there were other candidates on that team, you know, that are better candidates, veterans.
Could you guys remember?
Even Le'Veon Bell would be interesting because he doesn't care.
Yeah, but he's also not – he wasn't a big talker either, though.
No. Well, let me ask you this, Steve.
That could be good.
Do you think they've probably come to the New England Patriots on numerous occasions and asked Tom Brady to be mic'd up? Because I don't remember Tom Brady being mic'd up. The only time he's been mic'd up is NFL films, and most of those are the big boom mics
right.
that they're picking up on the sidelines for historical purposes. But to be mic'd up while while the game is going on. Do you guys remember it? I don't.
You just put the monkey on his back. That's the big thing.
Yeah,
the monkey's on his back.
Not that the Jets will face rabid fans in their away games or anything, because the Jets
don't have any fans.
Jets.
Yeah. They don't have any fans.
No, I'm talking about the fans
away.
The away fans.
Yeah, they don't travel.
Philly would.
They won't. Yeah, Philly would do anything. But yeah, it's just the strangest thing. Why would you let that happen?
All right, I want to get back to the defense, because we look at it and we talk about the talent. They've got a lot of talent, and they've got playmakers on the defense. But to me, and I know you've said this over the years, Fred, every time we talk about Brian Flores or Pepper or whoever's running the defense over the rack, or whoever's running the defense, you've always said, Bill Belichick, it's all Belichick, it's all Belichick.
When you lose a coordinator, you don't lose much.
Okay, but hold on. I agree with that. But I think there is a difference when Bill Belichick is in that room running
Absolutely.
The defense every single day. When I think Bill Belichick is on
not,
that sideline.
Was he ever not in that room
I think
every day?
I think there's far more of a Belichick presence with that defense. You saw it again
you
on the sideline.
You got a young Belichick on the sideline.
Yes, and I think he's the one that is
Probably
actually
has a giant brain too.
Calling the signals. But on the other hand, it's Belichick on the headphones, and it's Belichick's defense, and his fingertips are all over that defense. You can't tell me that is not a factor on how connected this defense is
now. We saw him have an opportunity to challenge that interception in the end zone, or on the 1 yard line,
the
whatever they call it.
That should have been
a touchback, but he was busy talking to that defense. Right.
More important things to do.
Yeah, he had more important things to do. And
we still got the ball, so whatever.
Yeah, well, there's a lot.
Well, you got a big lead, too, at the time. But for him, that was a teaching moment on the sideline. And I think it was, and he did say penalties. I think they had three penalties in that one series.
They did.
And I think that's what he was looking at, because it was probably a point of emphasis this past week. We get the Hockley kid. Okay, this is yep. Ed the
They're by
the
far the most
Ed,
penalties,
big gun
right?
Ed, yes, by far, not even close. And they're all holding and their hands to the face. That's what they call. And guess what? That's what they got called for. And J.C. Jackson got called for two of the pass interference. And by the way,
drive,
they
right.
were legit. He was holding the
right.
guy's the
yeah,
shirt.
They were. And they were holding a bunch of times, too, on Edelman.
Oh, here we go.
Oh,
yeah.
And there was a lot of holding by their offensive
Fred,
line.
Fred.
It was a makeup call.
Hey, focus.
It's focus.
We're talking
about
the Patriots defense.
Talk about the Patriots defense, and that offensive line was holding a lot of times. You said, where's the holding,
Patriots,
Glenn?
Patriots didn't do any
I got
holding.
Tape of you saying that.
Were those legit calls on that drive, those
J.C.
two pass
Jackson.
Interference?
Yeah, they were.
Jackson?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But there was a lot of legitimate holding, too.
But you can call it virtually in every play.
How about
play?
When the
you
clock ran out and they didn't call it?
They missed some.
They missed some.
All right. Mm.
I will say this.
The Patriots are the most penalized team in the league.
You're absolutely 100%
That is not true.
Lying.
That's true, that defense. It's true.
It is not
never
true.
Been there.
Look it up.
They've never been
you,
there.
I can tell you you're wrong.
No, I'm right.
You want to put a bet
listen,
on this one?
Listen,
what do you want to bet?
Take
the ref.
How about that motorcycle that's out in the parking lot?
When you throw a stupid stat.
And you're going to drive it home.
When you throw a stupid stat out there, make
it
slightly.
I got it right in front of me.
Slightly. Well, unless you're counting Deflategate as like 10,000 penalties, yeah.
Could be.
I will say this, Steve, and maybe it was because we're all sitting there going, oh, my God, please, let's end this thing. Let's get this thing over, okay? You did get the feeling that they were starting to call some penalties against the Patriots because they felt bad for the Jets. It had that feel to it, like, oh, my God, it's Monday Night Football.
Yep.
The ratings are dive-bombing right now. People are going to sleep, shutting this damn game off. And you're sitting there going, the refs are probably
they
just trying to prop up the NFL.
Yeah.
They want the commissioner to feel good about them, right?
And you know what?
Yeah.
They might not even have to get that call from New York to do that. They're like, boys, this is getting out of hand. Let's
charity
tighten
time.
It up a little bit. Let's tighten it up a little bit. It's all part of the vast anti-Patriots conspiracy, Fred.
You're absolutely right, Steve.
Thank you.
Spygate in front of 80,000 people.
But as much as you've said this over the years, I do believe that, and Steve will tell you this.
I believe in ghosts.
Okay. I think Belichick does give rope to his defensive coordinators. He gives them an opportunity to go out there and coach. And I think this year there is far more hands-on by Belichick. And I think it is a significant part of why this defense is so good.
I agree with you. Could that be because he recognized very early on, probably in training camp or before, the talent that he had on this defense.
Yeah,
and
yeah, but there was no intention for him to be the defensive coordinator.
No.
Guy walked away from the job, and he had no time to really put anybody in that position. And so what he did is he took Gerard Mayo and Steve Belichick and kind of gave them more authority. But as you watch this play out and you watch the interaction during the course of the game, don't you agree that Bill Belichick is more heavily involved in the defense?
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I was saying that that might be a scenario where he looked at his defense in the offseason, through training camp, through preseason, and said, I have something special here. I'm going to make this as
a couple tweaks
as good as possible. And there's no better defensive mind in the history of the game than Bill Belichick. Did he say, I need to get involved with this, not through ego reasons or anything like that, but just to the talent level that he has. I mean,
but you have two young guys doing it.
Yeah,
right?
Bill Belichick's doing it, Fred.
No, I said because he's taken over because he has two uncharted guys.
Yeah, he can't.
Also, when you see guys leave here, they don't usually be successful because it's all Belichick, offense and defense.
Yeah, it's an old rap, but anyway.
Yeah. It's Kobe Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, I'm sorry.
They
learned from Bill.
I'm sorry.
Chandler Jones.
I will give you that. Give you that Garoppolo and Brissett actually has been better than Jimmy Garoppolo this year.
According to Rodney Harrison, best quarterback in the
AFC. Yeah, it might be a stretch. But he was this weekend.
He said it.
This weekend, he was the best quarterback I saw this weekend. I'll give him that.
Four touchdown passes.
Oh, maybe the Aaron Rodgers.
He is playing well.
He's playing well.
Yeah. It's all because of the coach. It's all because of his coach.
But no, I would give you this, Fred.
He was coached here.
He
learned the parameters.
He got good schooling here.
And also with Frank. Right. He was brilliant, too.
Yeah, I was waiting for
that. I was waiting for that. His
second best coach in the
league. I was throwing up a softball for
you guys know that.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. He's a good coach.
He's tremendous.
I don't know about tremendous. He's a coach of the year?
He'll be coach of the year. Belichick should have been the coach of the year like 10 times. How many times has he been coach of the year?
Once.
Twice.
Once.
How was that?
Yeah. No, Frank Reich is going to get, because his quarterback retired. Before the season began, you're right. If they continue to play the way they're playing right now and they're a factor, he's going to get a lot of support, a lot of votes. All right, we're going to get back to the phone calls at 617-779-7937. We do have Sam Darnold mic'd up after the game. No, this was mic'd up after the game with a post-game press conference, and we'll let you hear some of that
as people.
Well. We got it coming up.
Casper's going to be there.
Yep. All right, back here on the Real Postgame Show, the Patriots led 24-0 at halftime, and it kind of took the pedal down a little bit. 33-0 was your final. Sam Darnold turned the ball over five times. Six turnovers overall in the ball game. He turned the ball over five times, and they had his head spinning in this game. Spinning.
Yeah, that's correct.
And there was no relief in sight. It wasn't like they might have blitzed a little bit less in the fourth quarter, but they didn't care.
They're trying to kill the clock. What's the how many times have the Patriots been 7-0?
How many times have they been 7-0? I do not know.
Twice.
Well, we know 1 year they were 7-0. He's just making it up. Look, he's believing.
That's
it.
My job.
You're not good at it.
I'm looking
I don't
right
know.
Here.
Why don't you look it up and why don't you come with information instead of throwing
right.
a question?
I did give you information.
To Steve and I.
That's the most penalized
what are we
team.
Supposed to do? Your research for you? You can't
your
do
research.
It?
I just asked you a question.
Why don't you
go home and do the research instead of eating hamburgers?
We don't care what you ask.
You're the only one eating here at the table.
Yeah.
Why don't you do
not
this?
Now.
Why don't you ask
you're
the audience and maybe somebody will do all the research
you're
for
the
you?
One audience?
They get this little Google
audience,
machine now.
Jimmy,
maybe somebody
you
will
asked,
do it.
Someone out there, can you tell us how many times the Patriots have been 7-0?
You have a computer in front of
you. So what is the reason you need to know?
Because that's just a fact. I want to know one fact. Why? Because
how about 8-0? How about 9-0?
Right,
how about 10-0?
When you find out that information, what are you going to do with it?
I'm going to tell you guys so you're knowledgeable about what's going on.
Well, then why?
And about
we,
who's the most
why would we
penalized
bother looking
team
it up for you?
I don't have my glasses.
All right, I want to hear what Sam Darnold had to say after the game because he was mic'd up during the game. He said a lot of stuff during the game, you know, about seeing ghosts or whatever. So I'm sure we're going to get some ghost questions here.
Yes, you are.
This is Sam Darnold after losing 33-0 against the New England Patriots.
We got to go out there and be better, plain and simple.
How would you assess your own play?
Yeah, I mean, didn't play well. Could play a lot better. Still got to watch the tape and figure out what exactly happened, but just going off of what I felt, just didn't play good enough to win.
ESPN caught that
seeing ghosts comments. How do you feel about that? What were you thinking then? What can you share about that?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, I just gotta, you know, just when I talk to the coaches, I just gotta be, you know, straight up. And you know, for me, I just gotta see the field a lot better. That's kind of what that means. And you know, just it was a rough day out there, rough night out there, and obviously I got to be better and learn from the mistakes. But we will get better.
Sam, what was it about the pressures that was giving you guys such a hard time tonight?
I think for us it was just, you know, we didn't stay ahead of the chains. You know, we caught ourselves in too many third and longs, and whenever that happens, you know, they're going to bring it and put their guys covering our receivers 10 yards deep. And for me, I just got to spit the ball out and get completions.
Sam, were you pressing after you guys were down early, like 17?
Yeah, I definitely think I was pressing too hard. You know, trying to get a 24-point score in one play. You know, it's just I just got to take it one play at a time and continue to, you know, play the game the way it's meant to be played.
Sam, how jarring is this? I mean, last week you had one of your best games of your career, and you're kind of close to full strength this week for the first time since week one. Given what your expectations probably were coming into today, how shocking is it that you're going unfolded like this tonight?
Yeah, it's it sucks. You know, obviously that first pick, it wasn't a good feeling. And that right there, it was. That's the one I'd like to have back, because if I don't throw that, I feel like it is a different game. It's easy to say after the loss like that, but. I just got to play a lot better, and us as an offense and collectively as a team, we need to get better, and we will.
Sam, can you take us through that first play?
Yeah, it was just a bad throw.
Sam, it looked like they were.
You walked him through it, all right.
Yeah, he sounded as confused in that post-game press conference.
He doesn't know what
went
on. If he knew it was on, he probably would have corrected it.
One of his teammates was trying to help him out by having the hair dryer going. Yeah, maybe he could scoot away the media or whatever. Too many third and longs. That's because you did nothing in the first down or nothing in the second down. So that's why you ended up with a lot of third and longs.
He sounds a little psychologically damaged.
Yeah, no question.
It's not
quote,
the third
a great
and
philosopher
longs.
Of our time.
Right.
It's yeah, not the third just, and longs.
And I get it.
Well, he's trying to put a positive spin in saying, you know, we're going to get better.
Saying
the
right things.
He's saying all the right things. On the other hand, he sounded to me like he was still dazed by all of this.
Sure
head was still spinning.
He says that we're going to get better. Well, you can't get much worse.
Well, they're going to get better, Fred, because you can look
ghost.
At some of the games coming up, and they get some games they can actually win, including a couple against Miami. They're a better team than Miami.
Yeah,
they have
decent
Cincinnati.
Talent.
Yeah.
Guys that catch the ball, running backs, quarterback. The quarterback has a good arm and moves well in the pocket. Just he was seeing ghosts. It's in his head.
And you don't expect a young guy to handle
Belichick.
Good defenses, let alone a great defense that was all of a sudden you've got a 17-point lead, and the guys were revving up. They're like, okay, now they're going to turn us loose because we know he has to throw the ball, and we're just going to do. And he only got sacked what, twice? I think
once, I believe.
Yeah, once. Yeah, so.
Rather a sack than an interception.
No. They didn't have to sack. He got unloaded the ball. Once he felt that pressure.
Sacks. He should have taken more sacks.
He unloaded it.
Yeah.
And Brady could have got sacked a
or
couple times.
He
got another grounding tonight. And he knows right now that's the best thing to do. Because the one time he did get hit back there, what did he do? He threw the pick.
Intentional grounding. How does he know what the quarterback's intending to do?
You don't have to. It's well written in the rules. Stop your
it's called intentional. Wait, I'm just following what it says. Intentional ground. Tom, come up. Says I intended to hit that receiver,
you're
but the guy
a linguist.
Hit my arm.
It's a negative. He can't deal with a negative.
That's what it is. Refs.
So if you look around the league, and we know that the Patriots have
half
played,
the team is a bunch of tomato cans. Correct. Half
the
league is virtually.
Yeah, there are a lot
cans.
Of bad teams.
There
out
is
there. A lot of bad teams.
There's a lot of bad coaches. You know, when you got a coach that's that far superior to everyone but Frank Wright. But there is. How many coaches out there can match with Belichick? It's for it.
Well, and that's another factor. When we were talking earlier, when your defense is this good and your offense still, you know, can be better, but you look at the coaching, and you saw it last year in the Super Bowl. You saw one coach totally outcoach the other guy. And when you look at these playoff games and you look forward
you
to
go back to 1990.
Yeah.
And Buffalo Bills with a dominant offense.
Yes.
And they just didn't figure out what he was
dominated
doing.
Dominated the AFC. What good is that?
Yeah, Bill Parcells.
They beat you during the regular season.
You had Bill Belichick dealing with that defense.
Because we set him up.
But that's what I mean. Dirty. And you guys know how huge that is when you get into playoff games.
Yeah. Agreed.
Including Frank Reich, by the way, in a playoff game against Bill Belichick. Ooh. Who would you take there, Fred?
Well, I don't know. Bill, let me see.
Frank, who would you take,
Frank
Fred?
Was, wait, hold on. Frank was the offensive coordinator for what team? It was maybe.
I don't know. What are you whispering about?
Maybe it was Philadelphia.
So Belichick never
had
so
that
Belichick
win
never
against
played
the Patriots. Yeah. It was Belichick against Frank. And Frank
yeah, you're right. And Philly's fallen apart since then. So
they
that's
did,
a good point
Frank's
by
gone.
You. I didn't think of that.
Man. Did he make
point.
The calls or did the head coach make the call?
You see what the coach was doing right now? That's
when they went
doing.
For
no,
it.
No, the quarterback made the call. Nick Foles made the call on that quarterback toss.
No, I'm talking about the going for on fourth down a couple times. That's a head coach's
Frank.
Call.
Head coach's call.
That's a head coach's
call. He stayed out of Frank's way. If he was that good, he'd be doing it now.
But that is a big difference when you look at Belichick in these big games against these other coaches. And we've seen it against
what I heard,
against Andy Reid.
They're going to only allow Bill 1 day a week to prepare instead of a regular week.
Like so?
They put hot. You know how horses are tough? It's a great horse. You weigh him down. They're going to take away Bill Belichick's ability to prepare for an entire week.
Well, you told me they've already done that. They've
they
already
did.
Done that with
but
changing the
two
rules.
Days.
All that stuff.
Every time Bill does something that works, they take it away.
I love Bill saying that tonight. They're going to change the rules.
They're going to change the rules.
Well,
they always do.
He also said they should change it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, so, they will change it.
Yeah. Now that it worked for us.
All he was doing was pointing out
by the rules.
An obvious flaw in the system. He was doing the NFL a favor.
But no one else does.
With a smile on his face. 617-779.
I got you now, baby.
7937. It's all presented by Kaplansky Insurance. This is the Real Post Game Show. All right, back here in a Real Postgame Show. Mikey Reese threw this one out there tonight. Most interceptions through the first 7 games of the last 30 seasons. The 1996 Packers had 20. New England.
18.
Unbelievable. 17 for the Vikings in 2003. The Seahawks in 1999 had 17. And the Bills in 1993 had 17. That's unbelievable. 18.
Yeah.
Second best in the history of the game, certainly the last 30 seasons, because the numbers before there, it's a different game.
They give such a big advantage now to the to receivers. You know, you can't do as much stuff as
Correct.
You did in the past, and you're
True.
Still getting interceptions.
And quarterbacks can stand in the pocket, yep. not worried about being hit. I mean, there's a lot of things
or
different
Or there's
now.
Roughing the passer. You know, they call roughing the passer.
Yep.
How did they get the roughing the passer on Sheldon? He dove over a guy?
Sheldon.
Yeah, he dove over.
I think he got his hands up on
I think he just
Donald's
hit him
face.
With his helmet because he dove over
yeah,
and hit his helmet.
I think what they saw was a hand to the helmet.
Yeah, because he came up
quick.
High because when we originally saw it, we thought it was down low. It was up
matter.
High. Somebody else was down low on him, but he missed him. But you know that it's fixed, though. You know that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Bob's
right over a guy.
Bob is in Rhode Island.
Hey, Bob.
Next up here in EEI.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Bob.
Oh, it's great to talk to you, Steve, Freddie, and Glenn. Jeez, I've been fans of you for a long time.
That's nice.
Thank you very much.
That's very nice of you.
As your fan, Fred,
well,
you're looking for
Freddie, you should be in the Hall of Fame, by the way.
Should be.
That's
well, thank
I
you.
Don't.
My association with Glenn has hurt me.
I got kind of a strange point, which I haven't heard anybody bring up.
Oh, good.
What do you think? Yeah, no, Glenn, it's not that bad. But you think that they might consider putting one of the defensive guys on offense?
They're doing it. Like, they did that tonight.
Yeah.
Landon Roberts was your fullback tonight. So the answer is yes.
No, I mean receiver-wise, like Troy Brown.
Like a receiver.
I don't know. What are the
put a receiver where?
No, put a defensive back at receiver, maybe.
Yeah, like Iron Man.
Oh,
Iron Man. I know that sounds kind of out there, but
it's a lot of running.
Well, but
one guy.
If I mean, we've seen Belichick do a lot of things. We've seen him use Troy Brown as the first guy you mentioned. That's he had
Deion
some,
Sanders. Remember, he played both ways.
Yeah. Different. Deion Sanders was one of the greatest athletes to play the game.
Yeah, wouldn't hit anybody.
Multiple
sports.
Yeah,
too. I know.
But the but in terms of that, I think you got to see how it pans out with if Josh Gordon bounces back fine, if Nikhil Harry
I don't know. This Harry guy, have you guys seen him? Is he any good?
Just in the preseason.
No, he's a first-round pick.
You know?
No, I know, but is he any good?
What we heard was he's a good. He has good hands. He's big. He's strong.
He's a little bit like Josh Gordon, actually. Yeah. You know, he's big, and you know, you throw in the area, and he's going to catch the ball. He's one of those guys.
Almost like a tight end.
I'm not trying to sound like a deterrent, but I don't know. Josh is kind of like
Slow down. The guy
is massive, but he doesn't catch the ball that often.
Well, he's not getting open.
He doesn't get separation. Right. That is it. He doesn't have much speed. Right?
He's safe to say.
He doesn't look like he did
when he was playing for the Patriots last year.
He looks bigger.
Yeah.
And he looks like, you said it earlier, plodding out there.
He's fast. I mean, he has an extremely fast 40, but he doesn't seem to be crisp out of his breaks.
He doesn't run great routes.
No. So we'll see how he is when he comes back. Maybe he had something that was ailing him before that.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to move any of the defensive players to wide receiver, but I do believe that it's an interesting experiment that you do not have a fullback now, and they still want to run it, especially in goal line. They want to have a lead blocker. And so they put a Landon Roberts out there, and it worked.
Well, when it's they're doing a lot of penetration. If guys get a one-gap field, you want to be able to wham them or trap them. So when you have a big fullback, the lead block, you can nail one of those linemen or big linebackers coming in.
I actually think Sonny Michel needs it, Fred.
Yeah.
I think he needs a little extra space, and that is what that lead back does
Agreed.
For you.
Right. It helps. It helps when your offensive line plays better, too.
But they came out early in the game, and we were commenting. We were going, oh, my God, there's Tomlinson out there playing fullback. And that, I think, was that not in that first series? I believe it was in that nine-minute drive. They had him out there early in the game.
They didn't like what they saw last game, the game before. They weren't getting great blocking by a fullback or a tight end, what they had in there. So they're going to try different guys. And they had some good blocking. Now, some of those guys did a pretty good job.
Who, the Patriots offensive line?
No, the Patriots running back. I mean, their fullbacks, they put in their different guys. So, the only guy they put out there was
Tomlinson and Landon Roberts. But they don't have a fullback.
No.
It doesn't look like they're getting a fullback from here on in.
No.
Not if it works like this. No, they brought the kid Jakob Johnson or whatever. And unfortunately, he got hurt.
You think it worked well today?
I thought they made a couple of pretty good blocks. I thought better than it was before. They were hitting through the hole. He knocked. If you watched a couple of those runs, they were stacked and coming in. You know, they were penetrating, trying to get into the backfield.
I will say this, Steve. The one thing you look at this team and you talk about, well, maybe they're not going to have the explosive receivers to be able to put up a lot of points in a game. If that's the case, then isn't it important that you have a running game? We saw that last year when they lost Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
And they pretty much, it was an offense that was geared towards Edelman
and
James White.
Right.
Well, if you only have two guys that can catch the ball, then what are you going to do? You're going to be able to overplay those two guys, and you're going to make it very difficult for Tom Brady to find any type of separation with your receivers. So what did they do? They adopt a running game behind James Devlin, and boy, it worked.
It brings that play-action pass in the play.
Opens it all up. It sells it.
You forget how good he is, Devlin, at blocking.
I think the loss of Devlin is big. And nobody seems to be talking about it, but I agree, Fred. That was what they did when they lost Gordon last year. They ran the football, and Devlin is as strong and as tough as anybody in that league.
He finds the block guy he's supposed to block. He doesn't bypass one. He hits the right guy. That's the big thing. You can hit somebody, but you're not hitting the right guy. He's going to fill the hole.
Especially when you're looking at a team like Kansas City. We still believe, in the end, if Mahomes is healthy, Kansas City is still your biggest threat in the postseason.
Agreed.
If that's the case, what can you do against Kansas City? Well, we saw what Indianapolis was doing with Marlon Mack. They just ran it down their throat.
Yep.
And they just
– they have a hell of an offensive
line. If you can do that, you keep the ball away from Mahomes as well.
But you're right. You're talking about Indianapolis with that offensive line. That might be one of the best ones.
Terrific offensive line right now.
Yes, a little easier. But again, we've come to count on the Patriots and their coaches coming up with things that – finding ways to make things work, and we've seen they changed from what was winning in the first decade of Tom Brady to what was till 2003, 2004, and then all of a sudden when the rules changed, they changed it up to what they started doing in 07.
Yeah, Colts.
And then last
they adopted the Colts offense. Yeah. That's what they did.
And then last year, they realized that they had to do something different than what they were doing with the loss of Josh Gordon, and they adopted they went back to a little bit of that, not a little bit, a lot of the running game, and maybe a little more dink and dunk throws too, substituting that for some of the running game too. So yeah, you've always been able to count on the Patriots coaching staff to come up with something that at least keeps you in the game or puts you in a position to win games.
Now a couple of these linebackers got to learn how to be fullback. You know, Bill
just one.
Well, he may get hurt. Everyone's going to be prepared, right?
They're not going to waste reps.
You're putting a Hightower back there? Is that what you're talking about now?
Hightower, 270. He's going to nail somebody.
He's 270 right now.
He looks pretty jacked to me.
He was 270 a couple of years ago. He's not 270 right now.
He weighs two pounds less than you. That's probably why he moves much better. Don't.
He moves much better.
I think he's just in better shape.
All right. Did you guys see Gronk on TV yesterday?
You see the cartoon Gronk?
Gronk was on Fox yesterday, and he tells everybody he's lost 15 pounds. These suits that he's wearing are swimming on him.
Yeah.
He apparently doesn't have a tailor, and he's not getting them taken in or whatever. But the one
Gronk
that gets me is, has he suddenly shrunk? Because his cuffs, if you look, are hanging down over his shoes by like 3 or 4 inches. It's like unbelievable.
They're not staying as high up on the waist as they used to.
No, apparently not.
He's in a cartoon. He was on a cartoon yesterday.
Yes, yeah.
Well, that's what he is right now. It was
not good. I still don't see him being like a real analyst, right?
No.
Does anybody see him being a real analyst?
He's supposed to be entertaining.
I think he could be because, you know, Belichick and Brady both had gone out of their way in the past to tell you how smart Gronk was in that offense.
Oh, well, I'm not questioning whether how smart he was in the offense, but can he articulate?
Yes.
How do you translate that to talking to people and make it interesting?
But you tell me, because the way Fox is using him right now, they spend a lot of time probably sitting down and talking to him. They're trying to make him like the comedian, the show comedian. Even yesterday, they're coming up with, you know, you called the Edelman the squirrel. So if he's the squirrel, what is Belichick? Oh, he's Grinch, you know, because you never have fun or whatever.
Not fun.
What?
Yeah.
And it sounds
like he's Lane Johnson now, who, by the way, is no longer having fun in Philadelphia. I wonder why.
Right.
He's not happy right now.
Right. You wonder if they're writing bits for him, which
it looks like he's reading off a teleprompter.
It seems forced.
After a while, and I get the whole sort of Vince McMahon sort of storytelling or talking or hyping or whatever, that gets old quick.
Yeah.
Is he still through professional wrestling, too?
Yeah, he is.
But not at 200.
I think he's going to do some of that. They're doing SmackDown on Friday night.
No, not the wrestling. No, he's not
supposed to be a manager or something?
No.
He'll be an announcer or he'll be an analyst.
And every once in a while he'll get in the ring.
Yeah, he'll be part of the show.
But not as a wrestler. He'll jump in like
it'll
Vince
be scripted for it.
Yeah, like
no,
Vince McMahon.
Get out of here.
It's scripted.
Yeah. But I don't like it that much.
He'll be a lot better in that because that's pretty much what that sport is, the telecast is.
Right.
Football is not necessarily that. You want to have somebody who's entertaining,
like Booga.
But you also want somebody to give
informative
you a little bit more
too,
depth.
Give us some insight.
There's a reason that the guys on that pregame show are all the Hall of Famers because they know the game and they can, and for the most part. Yeah, Terry Bradshaw used to
he's
be better.
He's kind of the clown.
He used to be better, but you know, you had to dig for some of his gems. Howie's great. Strahan's great.
He's a professional. You're
not going to have a long shelf life if you're a one trick pony in that situation. You got to bring something to the table that explains what's going on in the field. That's what people want to hear from your analysts. You don't necessarily want to have a hype man every single time.
So can we rip the Monday night broadcasting team? Because I don't think you get any of that with this Monday night team.
No.
And I know Jason Witten was horrendous last year.
He looks like he wanted to kill Joe Testaverde.
He's a lot better back as a tight end, as a football player. Okay, and he's actually, when you consider he was off for a year and came back, he's having a pretty good season right now. But he was awful. But I thought Booger McFarland was so much better last year than with Witten there. And maybe what I was listening to was Witten was so bad. I'm sitting there going, Booger's not that bad.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Booger's got to do more. Booger's got to do more. And the more he talks, the more you want to pull your hair out.
Agree. Yeah. As a third man in, he was still not that
palatable.
Good, Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah, but Witten was so bad, you were actually happy to hear Booger talk and
right.
say something. And they put him on that.
I wouldn't go that far.
They put him on that stupid platform or whatever.
Where's Booger? He's up in the third row making jokes.
But the stuff that they were saying tonight, how many times did we just look at each other and say, did he really just say that?
Why is he throwing the ball away? Everyone's coming.
You know what I noticed that happens? You can tell by the, usually by half, you can tell what the talking points were on the Friday and Saturday meetings. You can tell that they've got, Booger in particular, has a couple of things that he will repeat endlessly. This week it was the zero coverage.
Yes.
He loved talking about the zero coverage.
Well, they've been in it all year long.
I know. You're exactly correct.
And it was almost like the way he described it tonight. It was, oh my God, they're so confused. Sam Darnold's so confused.
Yeah.
With the cover zero, I don't get it.
Well, right. Well first of all,
I guarantee you he saw it all week long in film sessions.
Explain in layman's term, too. A lot of guys use terminology that you don't understand. Right. And some teams vary what you call it.
Some guys,
it's a good point.
Some guys want to do that to kind of send They'll hide behind the X's and O's to sound smarter than they are about the game. The game is, I'm not going to say it's simple, but it's
simple to understand.
It's not as complicated as some people want to make it. And when you can tell that you're reaching if you're using the same technical jargon 15 times in a game.
Yeah, but if we're talking about a first team, and this is a first team, this Monday night broadcast crew of him and Testator, you want to compare them to Joe Buck and Aikman, you want to compare them to Collinsworth, okay, and Al Michael? They're not even in the same league.
They should have better guys.
Or Tony Romo with what's his name?
Tony Romo with anybody.
Jim Nance.
With Jim Nance.
Yep.
I mean, you want to compare. They're supposed to be the number one team.
Right.
And I got to tell you, I think we're seeing a lot of B and C teams that we see on the 1 o'clock games that are better than this group.
They make it, especially if the game's bad, they see how bad they are.
Yeah.
If the game's exciting, they don't bother as much. But if you listen to them and other teams getting killed, they're not telling you anything.
I expected to hear a lot more with Booger tonight talking about the Patriot defense and what they were doing.
Yeah.
Because
he was a nose tackle. He should know these things.
That's something he should really know inside and out.
Nose tackles know the game.
And I didn't hear it. You know, at one point he kept on talking about the Jets, and he goes, oh, the Jets are just having a rough night. No, the Jets aren't having a rough night. The Patriots are forcing them into a rough night.
It's Patriots are having a great night. That's right. Utterly
outrageous. Okay, so outrageous. We get that. What are they doing?
Right.
Tell us what they're doing.
What makes them special?
Right.
That's first off, if you watch enough football, you can see what makes them special. But you can still get a little in depth on it. You can still talk about the fact that the defensive backs might be a little more aggressive because they know they have a better pass rush going on now. You might say that that front seven feels emboldened on their blitzes because they know they got a great secondary back there, and because you've got guys like Stephon Gilmore who can ball hawk. You got guys like Jamie Collins who can do almost everything on the field as well as anyone. There's plenty of things to talk about without trying to overload it with technical jargon and then being repetitive.
Okay, so why is the coverage so good? Well, because you're rushing with four guys, and you can drop a lot of guys off. Yeah,
again, not complicated stuff.
No, simple.
Not complicated stuff, but you don't have to. You don't
contained have to, well. That's why you couldn't run out of the pocket. He should be running more, but they contained well. They weren't leaving openings for them to run.
So we're looking off the ball, and it's hard sometimes to do it because the camera focus is on the ball, and we're watching Gilmore on Robbie Anderson. We're sitting there going, he has to have a big game if the Jets have any shot in this thing.
Right.
And Gilmore's in his jockstrap. He can't move. No. He has no daylight. So he had, nine targets, and he had one catch on the night for 10 yards? It is absolutely amazing. And by the way, the one catch he had was after it was a big, huge lead. And what was Gilmore doing? Gilmore was playing behind him, giving him space.
He was.
Because he did not want him to make
play.
The big play.
Exactly.
He wanted to keep everything in front of him.
Tell us something like that.
But they didn't do that.
Nothing.
And they never did a camera where they broke down video footage of Gilmore all over the main target Sam Darnold had.
They did mention once that Gilmore was breaking the cover, was breaking the route before the receiver was.
Yep.
He's reading those routes really well. Explain that to us. Where did that come from?
Well, there was one time, Steve, you and I were talking, and it was an out cut, and Gilmore forced him into where he wanted him to go because he knew he had the safety up top.
Yeah, that was when the
threw it out of bounds on the
when Darnold tried to roll to his right and Gilmore was almost underneath the receiver, but he knew you could see before the ball was even thrown, he started drifting to the outside. And it was before the receiver actually started drifting to the outside. The reason he started doing that is because Gilmore knew that the safety was over the top, and he didn't have to worry about the inside. They were already deep enough downfield that the safety had the inside taken care of. So before the ball was even thrown, he started drifting to the outside of the receiver, and it was right where the ball was.
I mean, the stuff
that's a lot of film study. Those guys spent a lot of time in analyzing these guys and learning the breaks right and knowing where your guys are. That's how it's done.
What's amazing to me is that the thought process. At the speed that those guys play, especially defensive backs, the thought process that Gilmore had in that situation, you're chasing a guy with world-class speed and you're covering him. And in that few seconds that you have, it occurs to you that, yeah, there's my safety. My safety doesn't even look at him. My safety will be where he's supposed to be, so I can undercut the outside.
But they're doing it virtually on every play.
The way we're being told it.
There are a handful of mistakes, and I'm literally mean one handful of mistakes that they've made in the course of the year in which you say, oh, my God, that is a mistake. Somebody blew the coverage or whatever. We haven't seen much of that.
Yeah.
To see
when you go back and watch the Dallas game, they were all over the place blowing coverages.
Yeah.
Happened all the time. We were like, why, this guy can't find anybody, nobody.
It's amazing to me. And they had an opportunity, I think, because the defense was so damn good tonight. Like, nothing you're seeing anywhere in the league right now. And that includes Chicago and New Orleans. And I think their defenses are pretty good. But to me, how are they not picking up on this stuff? This is where
they're
trying
to entertain us instead of following the game. We don't need to be entertained by you. We need to shut
capable.
Up a little bit.
Yeah,
I
think they're capable.
Yeah, I don't understand the canned halftime concert that ESPN does every week. I don't get that.
Are they trying to expand their audience?
I guess so.
But that audience isn't watching.
Yeah, they want to get people other than just Fred. They want to get some people.
I get it. And
put a country artist up there, you got Fred. You got them.
But Glenn, Monday night, those people that they want to watch aren't watching it.
See, I think
so. You got to do something else to drive them there.
Well,
they were gone by halftime anyway.
The idea of Charlie Puth, whatever his name was.
Who was he? Did you know who he was, Fred?
Charlie Puth.
I know who he is. He's some kid, like
kid.
He did a Justin Bieber thing where he became a YouTube sensation and became a very
well-selling. You could take Booker's
and then he got well beyond that. He's makes a lot
love
of money
this.
Now.
You know his songs?
Millennial Steve.
No, I have no idea.
Well, you know pretty much about the kid.
I have no.
I don't know about him.
Just because I tend to.
We're getting into Justin Bieber category. We're taking
Bieber
a break.
Guy. Just because I tend to remember details and usually
tell
the truth.
To the music.
All right.
Taking
Since
a break.
When?
Taking
right.
a break. Shime, just take it the break.
What's
don't just ignore the guys. All right, back here on the Real Post Game Show, it's time for us to award the Patriots Player of the Game, sponsored by Cars for Kids. Easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS.
Brady.
Brady was pretty good tonight, Freddie. 31 of 45. Actually, in all fairness, he got gypped out of three
big play
receptions because White dropped one wide open. Mm-hmm. Watson got one off of the helmet.
Well, if it never touches your hands, does
that's
it count
a
as a drop?
Yeah, that's a drop.
Why? Because it could have got caught in the face mask.
Hit your body.
It could have
got stuck right there.
I mean,
sometimes
literally.
He has
and then Edelman
on
dropped one, and he was wide open.
Wide
he bobbled it along the sideline.
Yeah,
so it could have been 34 of 45, Fred.
Man,
so they get Jeff. But the quarterback rating was 80.70. Do you
what?
Hello. Do you
hey,
really?
Lou.
Yeah. Do you really feel it's fair to give Tom Brady the player of the game?
He controlled the game.
80.7.
I think Gilmore.
His handoffs were great.
Gilmore.
I mean,
shut
Brady's
down
handoffs were great.
Let me ask you this:
his
Brady
anticipation,
Brady
his
only
adjustments.
Brady only had to score one touchdown, or maybe put Nugent in a position to kick a field goal, and they would have won this game tonight. Why?
Well,
because the defense limited the Jets to nothing.
Yep.
Zero. It's got to be a defensive player, right, Steve?
Has to be.
Has to be. Thank you very much.
Right, Steve.
I mean, who's their biggest offensive threat? The Jets.
Robbie Anderson was.
And who was on him?
Gilmore was on him.
And took him out.
So I would give Gilmore. Robbie Anderson had 8 targets. He had 1 catch. And we already told you, that one catch he had, it was by design. He kept them in front of him. Stephon Gilmore.
I absolutely agree. But does it count as a target if the ball's thrown 8 yards out of bounds and 7 feet over your head? Does that count as a target?
I think there is a limit to how far away you can be.
I'm telling
you. And there were some that probably didn't fall within the restriction limit. No.
Well, he saw Gilmore on him and threw it over his head.
I'll tell you what,
what about the ten others that he had?
We would have had 10 others.
Well, there were a lot of defensive players that played well. I thought Jason McCourty, he gave up one pass, but overall, I thought he played really well. Jonathan Jones, Kyle Van Noy, great again. Lawrence Guy, Danny Shelton,
Hightower.
John Simon made a couple of big plays.
First game I can recall this year that you didn't notice Jamie Collins.
True.
Yeah.
You notice some of these other guys. Devin McCourty again with another pick, his fifth of the season. There were so many guys.
That's the most he's ever had in a season, right? I think five is the most he's ever had in a season.
I thought he had 6 or 7 one year. I don't remember. But
when he was a cornerback.
And Terrence Brooks had himself an interception
tonight.
That's
correct.
Former Jet, by the way.
Brooks, he's out of it.
Yep. There you go. So we're going to give it to Stephon.
All day. Yeah. All day. Good call.
Because
what a bargain he was bringing here. We thought he was going to be a failure when he first started.
Do you remember the debate? And I think I probably jumped into it as well. Are you kidding me? They're going to give Stephon Gilmore $64 million, and they're not going to pay Malcolm Butler? Are you kidding me? What the hell is Belichick thinking?
How's that working out?
That's not good.
And now it's cheap money.
And Malcolm Butler gave up another one yesterday. A penalty. That was a bad. Yep. And he's sitting there bitching about it.
Wasn't even.
That's pass interference. What are you talking about?
Gilmore, that first year, there was a lot of questions. I mean, people were doubting everything about that.
Because he came out of playing all man-to-man. Now he's playing zone and different type of.
Well, he's playing a smarter coach, too.
Yeah, but also he wasn't getting the game plan. And once he did, it's over.
Well, he admitted the game plan was a lot more complicated than he anticipated. And so it took him a while. But right now, he takes out that number one guy in man-to-man coverage.
The best
I've
seen.
So, Odell Beckham Jr. next week, right?
Yes. Or
Dunn.
Landry. Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll mix it up a little bit. Landry's actually having a better year than Beckham. You know,
Beckham looks like he's frustrated already, doesn't he?
They're trying like hell to make him part of that offense. He's throwing the ball. He's running the ball. He's running various routes. He's never shy of running the different routes, but...
They want to get as many touches as he can because he's that good an athlete.
Sure.
But forcing again doesn't work.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Cleveland. That's the next opponent. It's the late game next Sunday. We'll do that right here on the Real Post Game Show. All right, next week it is Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. Odell Beckham Jr., who's pissed off he got fined $14,000 by the league today. Apparently, he didn't wear his pants over his knees. That's apparently required.
No one does. You ever see Seattle?
They all have 14 grand. He's been awful, by the way, Baker Mayfield. He's much better doing commercials than he is as a quarterback so far.
He's running all over the place, though. What offensive line's
five,
not blocking?
5 touchdowns, 11 picks. He's got a passing rating of 66 on the season. He doesn't have a good offense. He doesn't have a real good offensive line. I'll give him that. He's got Nick Chubb as the running back, who's pretty damn good. Okay. We talked about the two receivers, okay? But he's a mess. And this defense is going to tear him up. I mean, this is not, and defensively, they're not real good.
He'll take chances. He could be, you know, stink or good.
No, that's bad. A guy who takes chances against this defense right now.
Agreed.
But he may be able to get something. He'll throw the ball. He's not going to stand there in the pocket.
So, the Patriots are going to win by what next week? 50.
Triple digits.
But he had one good game against Baltimore. Was it Baltimore?
Yeah, 40 points they put
up,
right?
Yeah, yeah, one good game there.
But we're seeing what their defense is. Their defense is not real good.
Other than that, Mayfield really hasn't done much this year at all.
They've had 2 weeks to prepare for the Patriots.
Well, there's so much hype for them for the whole preseason.
Well, I think that was a real problem for them, Fred. So they've got all these personalities. Everybody
you
thought
see the
they
fat
were
coach standing there on the sidelines?
Yes.
Why is he got to be about fat?
Yeah,
why
I don't know. I didn't make
Freddie
him
Kitchens
fat.
Fat.
He's fat. It's a descriptive word.
Ripping Freddie Kitchens.
He's trying to be like
Baker Mayfield, 56% completion percentage.
Yeah, not good.
No, it's not coaching. At all.
No, he's been awful. This is a bad defense for him, even with 2 weeks
the whole team
to prepare.
I think
that was a problem for them. They were everybody's chic pick this year to make the postseason.
Agreed.
So right out of the gate, everybody was playing their best game against
and
the
Cleveland
Browns.
And they kept the coach because they won a few games last year. The guy's not
the
a
offensive
head,
coordinator.
He's not a head coach.
Right.
Their head coach? He's a bum.
Was the coach of the defense tonight for the Jets.
How did that work?
Mayfield is trying to force the ball into Beckham. I mean,
not good against this defense.
Trying to make him happy.
54 times, 29 receptions. Landry's been targeted 44 times. And I get it. You got guys like that, you want to get him the ball. I understand that too. But, you know, I think their biggest threat, honestly, is Nick Chubb.
All right. Chubb can run. So here we go. We get another tomato can next week, huh?
Tomato paste. Okay. The small cans. Small cans of tomato?
Yes, I do. Yeah, all right, boys. Paste. I'll see you next Sunday. We get the late game tomorrow next week at 4 o'clock. I'll be with Lou and Christian tomorrow, 2 o'clock with our show, OMF, and Bill Belichick coming up tomorrow
live from
Fox Brawl. Say hi to Bill for you.
Thanks for talking to you.
Well, all right, boys.
Good job, Fred.
Say ya.
Thanks, Sean.
Glad you did okay, too.
Average job, Glenn.
Goodbye.
You're the Booger McFarlane of this throw.
During the game.